Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes here today, usually on Thursdays, but a little earlier this week. Getting into the Titans, and also Nashville SC GM Mike Jacobs going to join us at the bottom of the hour, so looking forward to that as they get ready to start their season. Something interesting. We talked about it last week. John Robinson interviewed with the Jacksonville Jaguars for their GM job. And then I guess it was Friday or Saturday or something like that. The list of finalists came out. And John was not on that list. And we were in our group text and kind of like, man, you know, hate that for John. Like, he just can't, you know, he's gotten a couple of interviews, but that's as far as it gets. But you have an interesting theory on that.
So I'm reading all these articles about him, and, you know, he's did a great job with the Titans, and they were bad before he got there and all that. And then he goes to the one part, and it says, in these interviews, how does John Robinson explain A.J. Brown?
Yep.
And then John is still on the payroll of the Titans. So if you're at an interview for a GM job, there's a fine line at bashing the owner.
Sure.
Because you're thinking, God, what's happened if I let him go? He's going to bash me too. So there's all this
psychological
warfare going on. But at some point, John Robinson is going to have to explain. Those have argued against us, and you're wrong. But Amy Adams had to say the final thing on this.
Yeah.
She had. There was no way John Robinson was going to let A.J. Brown go. Because he's a player. I mean, he's a great player. At the price, he had to go to her and say, this is what he wants. I'm not paying that. What should we do? Well, the alternative is we could pay him. He's going to hold out from camp, might cause a disruption, or we trade him. Then trade him. This story's got to come clean if he wants to. It's got to.
Yeah.
Because I'm not hiring him unless you explain to me why you traded A.J. Brown. That's bottom line. That's it. I got to know why you traded him. So does he be honest? I don't know.
I mean, it's a tough one. And I mean, and I agree with you. And my thing is, I think a year from now, he can be a little more open on things.
Yep.
Because that's when, you know, his contract is up. And so she's done paying him at that point. Usually there are NDAs that, you know, non-disclosure agreements that you sign in those situations.
Exactly.
And those go away. And so, you know, he might be able to be a little more open.
What's more disconcerting to you, the A.J. Brown part or Isaiah Wilson, Farley Burks? Because I don't blame him for Burks.
No.
Because that was a reactionary pick when that happened with A.J. Brown gone. You thought you could get 2.0.
Here's the thing. I've said this before. I think the pick of Burks got him fired more than the trade of A.J. Brown. Because – my guess is in those conversations, and like, look, let me be very clear. I have not exonerated John Robinson from that situation. He was obviously very involved in it. But people that want to exonerate the owner need to rethink that.
And so
They're both guilty in that. But my guess is in that situation, it went down just like you said. Look, he's going to, you know, this is what he wants. Well, we're not going to give him that. Okay, well, then he's going to hold out. You know, he's doing all this stuff on Twitter. Because I can tell you, I do know for a fact that the social media stuff did not sit well with them.
Mm-hmm.
They did not like that stuff
very much.
Because, you know, they are very internal. Keep everything internal. So, you know, this is all happening. You know, so we have two. We can either – you know, try and get him signed and get him a deal that's going to be good for us and make him happy, or, you know, we can trade him. I really like this guy, Burks. I think Burks is is just like AJ. They're built the same. They play the same way, both in the SEC. I think he'd come in and do a really good job for us. You know, we've already kind of been looking at him anyway. So I think we'll be fine. Like, I don't want to trade him, but if this is what we have to do, then I have plan B. And, you know, she ultimately signed off and then they drafted Burks, and Burks obviously wasn't the answer. So I've always kind of felt that he thought he had the fix, and the fix didn't work. Plus, he already had these strikes against him with Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley, and it just ultimately got to the point where it was like, all right.
Why is she exonerated from this? I still don't. Like, Rex
Road. She's not in my mind.
Rex Road argues up and down. She had nothing to do with it.
I mean.
I don't know your argument. You are the owner of the team.
Yeah.
John Robinson does not have the power to give you that contract.
Right.
He doesn't have the power. He has to go to somebody who has the power, and that's her. Do you think she said, what do you want to do, John? He's going to say, we sign him.
I want to sign him, yeah.
I'm not paying that much money. Remember, she's her father's daughter,
right.
Notoriously cheap throughout the entire ownership part of this, and says, I'm not going to do that. Well, what's going to happen if we don't sign him? Well, they distinctly remember 2005 when Pac-Man Jones held out. It was an absolute nightmare when he held out in 2005. And she's thinking, oh, this is the same thing. I'm not going through this. I saw what it did to my dad. I'm not going through this. And then so, boom, trade him. All right? Who's a willing trade partner? Philadelphia. Boom, there it goes. So I think John Robinson did not get the Jacksonville GM job with these five other guys. And I looked at these guys. John's, if not equal, better than all those five. Didn't get it.
Yeah. I do wonder if they ask him – because here's the other thing that I try and take a step back and look at. You know, some people within, like, was he sitting down with Shad Khan? Was he sitting down with Tony Khan? You know, like, who is he talking to? Some people will look at the AJ situation and go, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. Like, an owner may look at that and go, yeah, I wouldn't have paid him either. You know, he was all that stuff. Do we think the drafts is what's hurting him more? Because I do think that they probably have a bigger weight than maybe we're giving them credit for. Isaiah Wilson,
I don't blame him for that.
I'm not going to give him a pass altogether because it's your first-round pick. But nobody saw that.
No.
So
he graded Georgia.
So, you know, he graded well. Nobody talked about that at Georgia. I mean, this was a guy that just got his check and hated football.
Right.
Caleb Farley – you drafted a hurt guy.
Yep.
Nobody, you know, I will never forget Tim Hasselbeck coming on the midday show and saying, have you ever met anybody that used to have a bad back? And everybody was saying, don't do it. Everybody, no other teams were like, well, yeah, we're not touching him. And they spent a first round pick on him. So that one is the one. I think that, you know, he's got to sit there and they were like, all the medicals told you this guy had a bad back. Why'd you take him?
Right, yeah. All that. Exactly. I'm looking at Isaiah Wilson's pre-draft measurables. I mean, he ran at 6'6", 350. He ran a 40 and 5'3". I mean, he had all the intangibles. His cone drill was 8.2. That is huge for a guy of his size. His lateral back and forth was great. I mean, everything was there. And he just – you missed on him. It happened. I don't blame John Robinson for Isaiah Wilson being a complete failure. I don't. Because once you get to the league, then you got to work harder. I don't blame – but the Farley and the Burks and not good.
The problem is he just – he and his staff could not navigate the COVID drafts. And I think he'd admit that. Because, I mean, 2019 was really good. 2019 was a good draft for the Titans. And you would had expected to replicate that. You know, in either maybe not 20, but 21, 22, somewhere in there.
Right.
You just couldn't do it. And so I think that is the tough part in things that he's having to explain at prospective employers. But at the same time, you know, they look at him and know, well, he's still getting paid by the Titans. I still hope that he gets another shot. I mean, I think I think he deserves another chance. And I know there's – those of you out there that are listening that, you know, you can't stand him and you think that, well, he's the reason the Titans are in the mess they're in. He's not the only reason the Titans are in the mess they're in.
No, not at all. I'm looking back at the 2020 NFL draft, and the Giants took a Georgia tackle at the fourth pick, Andrew Thomas. But there's been no – I mean, I guess he's – let me look up – still there. But so the whole COVID excuse drives me bananas. Because it's just – that's a great fallback excuse. Like, well, COVID, we couldn't talk to him. You got tape.
Yeah.
You've got tape of these guys. You don't need to sit down and do a one-hour, you know, back and forth with them. You just don't. I mean, some people love that. I'm not a fan of that.
I mean, look, I think sitting down and, you know, I'll never forget Floyd saying, I want to look the guy, I want to see the whites in his eyes, you know, and sit down and talk to him. And I think that's important. The tape obviously is important too. I'm not saying it's not. But I do think they missed something, not being able to sit across from a guy and ask him questions.
I completely disagree. I'm telling you, man. I don't. It's the tape. What did you do on the field? I don't care how you greet me in the lobby of a hotel. I don't care.
I think both are equally as important.
I totally disagree.
You got to know what makes a guy click.
So you can tell me all the right things in the hotel room, but then you get your ass beat on the bull rush every time. No, the tape shows me who you are. The tape. What if a guy doesn't like talking? He's an extreme introvert. Doesn't like talking to anybody. Oh, I'm not going to take. He didn't look me in the eye. I don't. You know, he only talked. He talked in low, mumbled tones. Well, maybe that's the way he is.
Yeah.
The tape, the eye in the sky, and I heard this 1,000 times playing football, and I hate this phrase more than anything else. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. But, again, I don't blame John Robinson for this. I don't do that. But Farley, everybody misses on guys. But the Farley one's like, what are you doing? And then the reaction to Burks and all that. John Robinson's got to do a PR. He's got to do a PR kind of – redo things, hear who I am, here's what I did great, because this ain't working right now, because he's getting blamed for all this.
615-737-1025. I don't know if anyone really cares if he gets a job. I mean, I think some do.
I think we care around here.
We do. I mean, we do. I'm talking about listeners. Like, do they care? They're probably looking like, well, no, our team needs to get fixed first, which.
Well, they're in the mood it is because of the guy that's no longer there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's right. A collective.
It is. That's a collective.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Vanderbilt Baseball, they are back at it. 94.9 The Fan today. Pregame at 12:45. The first pitch at 1 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan. They moved that game from tomorrow to today because of the potential weather. So you can check that out starting at 12:45. We're live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Dr. Crane in a wrestling theme mood. I like it. Have a nice day. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On this Tuesday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. People are weighing in on our – basically the discussion we had of I think it's important. I'm not dismissing the tape. Let me say the tape is very, very important.
Try to take this back now.
I'm not taking anything back. You will let me speak or I'll turn your mic off. It's number one. The talent on the field is obviously number one. But I do think that sitting across from a guy and kind of learning how he ticks is important. I mean, like, you got to know if a guy truly loves football and loves what they do and – how they're going to fit with your team, because everybody, the team has a personality. Do they fit the personality of the team? If they don't, now look, there are some guys that are so talented that you work around that. But if they don't, and you feel like this is a guy that's not going to mesh with us and mesh with our locker room, then I think you need to know the answer to that.
My thing is, a guy doesn't want to talk. And he's silent.
There's a difference in being shy and being the quiet type. And, you know, like, for instance, if I were conducting an interview, you know, football is a violent game. Football is a game where you got to be reactionary and you got to think quick. And, you know, if a play goes bad, like, you got to know that this is a guy that he's going to jump on the football like it's a grenade. You know, that, like, you want a guy like that. That's willing to take a risk. So I would sit there and I would go, let's say you're sitting at the blackjack table, right? You got a 16, the dealer's showing a face card. Do you hit or do you stay? Because you can kind of go either way with that.
You're going to determine
no,
that question?
Just
okay. All right, go.
Do you hit or do you stay? Answer the question.
I am fortune favors the bold, I hit.
Okay.
That's me.
That tells me that's a guy that's willing to take a risk. That's somebody that's willing to – because it's a gutsy move.
All right.
The odds are not really in your favor.
Okay.
But that's what I would do. And so I kind of look at it as you need to see how a guy is going to react in a situation where they got to make a really fast decision, but are they willing to take a risk? Are they willing to, like, because on a play, like, if, you know, a fumble or whatever, I mean, yeah, how many times do you see a guy get hurt, but they're diving for the football?
All right,
and that's what you want.
Ask me the question again.
You're playing blackjack. You have a 16. Dealer showing a face card. Do you hit or do you stay?
I don't gamble.
Okay. That's fine. That's an answer, too.
So what do you take away from that, Sally Jesse?
I do not sign you to my football team. That's what I take away.
I'm a tape guy. I want to see.
I am too. I mean, you're acting like I'm completely dismissing that, and I'm not.
But you told me it's equal, and I don't think it's equal.
I think they're both very, very important.
I mean, can you imagine sitting across from Vrabel? What are you going to do in this thing? We're going to do that thing.
I mean, I probably would have loved Vrabel if I was a coach.
I play football. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to help my teammates. I mean, give me all the answers you want, but are you going to do it on the field? That's the bottom line, is on the field.
Dustin in Hopkinsville, I believe it's much more to do with the man asking the questions, looking at the reactions. Not everyone's the GM. He was a reader of people. I don't know what he's trying to say, but 95% of the time. Can observe and tell you what move a guy is making at work with what he's doing, his body language. I'll take the whites in the eyes. It doesn't matter the talent a man has if he's equally a hidden POS.
Okay. I see what he's saying there.
That's what he's saying. Al says, sorry, Chase, Big Joe is dead right on in this debate. Tape matters so much more. Could care less about their meet and greet. That is just a trained game. It matters, but not compared to their skills and health.
Bingo.
Jeff says, Joe, sorry, man, you may miss now and then, like with Isaiah Wilson, but overall a good interview can uncover a lot. Question is, are decision makers willing to let skill with a poor value system override not taking a player with a poor value system? It has been done hundreds of times, Titans included.
I got all right.
Look, here's the thing. If I sit down and I'm A.J. Brown, all right, let's just use A.J. Brown. Do you think A.J. Brown lacks confidence?
No.
Right. Like, he's borderline cocky, but he backs it up. And that's a guy, like, if I'm sitting down and I'm talking to him, and he's telling me, like, hey, I'm the greatest player ever. You want to draft me because I'm going to make you better. Okay. And then I look at the tape and I go, all right, he backs it up. I like that. I want that on my team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a football evaluator, I would look at that and go, hell yeah, I want that on my team. I need a little cockiness there. Owner might look at that and go, well, he talks too much on social media. But that's where I think they're both
right.
They're both important.
I've sat in those rooms where the coach rips you apart on the tape, or back then it was the film. And it's eye-opening, it's embarrassing, sometimes it's exhilarating when you're getting singled out. I mean, I got ripped one time, and the entire room was laughing at me. And I just started laughing. It was all awful, awful play by me. But the tape showed what I could and could not do. I could sit in a room and BS you all day long, man, and get out there and be bad. I just think the tape does so much, and we look at things to blame off of that. He just didn't want to play football.
Sure.
He was good in college.
Right. There's some guys that just don't.
We talked to Brett Kern yesterday about it. He had that long list of players. It's sometimes you draft these guys, you got to be lucky, then good. Right. I mean, Mitch Trubisky went third overall, right? Daniel Jones. I mean, what happened? This weren't good. You lost it. And Mahomes is taking after them, and he becomes a generational quarterback. I don't know. It's just the cat, and we love it because you just don't know what's going to happen until they get on the field.
Indeed. Speaking of the field, or the pitch.
The pitch,
as
pal.
They say, the pitch. Nashville SC, their season about to begin. We'll talk to their GM coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Oh, hell yeah. On this Tuesday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Nashville SC about to get things going once again. It's hard to believe. I mean, it's already that time, and, you know, we're talking about it's been 5 years since they made their debut in MLS. We all remember that first season We bring in the GM, Mike Jacobs, who joins us now as they get ready to get things started coming up on Saturday. Mike, how the heck are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. And look, I know you have to be excited to get the season going against New England, getting Geodis Park rocking again. But your team's gone through quite a bit of change in this offseason. And, you know, for those that have been following along since day one or those that are casual fans, you know, what's kind of the, I guess, quick synopsis of where you are is now you made a coaching change last season. You got BJ in now. But a lot of different players have left and now come into your program.
Well, I always joke about the off season almost like an air quotes, because where it's important for the players and staff to step back and rest and recover, you know, for me and the guys I work with closely, that's the busiest time of the year for us. You know, the transfer window in the winter is really when teams tend to, in our league, activate players the most. And, you know, for us, not only having a coaching change in the middle of last season, but really a roster that's had just about a 50% turnover. You know, it's been a busy offseason. Those deals don't occur just over a week or two. It's months in the making. So it's been a busy last 8-10 months. And it's really exciting to kind of get the chance to see all these guys, maybe who were magnets on a board for most of the last 8-10 months, to now be having them on the field wearing gold.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, like, people kind of got used to certain players that were here since the beginning that are now no longer with us, you know, and for the first time as a soccer city, we're kind of going through that. You know how sports work. There's a lot of change, but what should fans be excited about with this new look Nashville SC as they go into the first full season with BJ as the head coach?
Well, look, the reality is, you know, from a roster standpoint, you know, some of these guys, I said it's by Annabelle Godoy, you know, who moved on at season end, he did nothing wrong but just get 5 years older than he was when we first acquired him. So the reality is, it's just not possible to sustain success and bring the same guys back every year. And that's in any sport, any team. You know, for us, you know, the idea of making a coaching change, it wasn't just about like adding BJ Callahan. It was, we had a conscious idea of trying to have a change in our game model. And that's not just how we wanted to attack and defend, but, you know, maybe the age of players in our group, where players came from. So for us, you know, I think it's going to look different from the standpoint that, you know, NSC 2.0 on the field is a very different iteration maybe to what fans have come to expect for most of the first 4.5-5 years. But, you know, really exciting, I think, to look at not only who's going to be on the field, but how we're going to play, and in a fashion that I think can not only pursue cups, you know, soon, but also sustain success, but I'll do it for years to come.
You know, we know Mike Jacobs is with us, GM of Nashville SC. We know about the mainstays, obviously, Sam Surridge, Hani Mukhtar, Alex Muehl, you know, that have been here for a long time. But, you know, some of the new guys that you've added. Tell us about Patrick Yazbek, the young 22-year-old from Australia that you added. I know you have to be excited about him.
Yeah, look, we added Patrick last summer. He was someone we pursued probably for about 8 months prior to that. Really young talent. Where he was playing for Viking in Norway. You know, he's already on the Australian national team, which is really encouraging for a 22-year-old, especially thinking about the fact that we're going to host the World Cup here in our country in 2026. You know, Patrick absolutely has the ability to be someone who could perform in that stage. And, you know, a lot of times when you add a player in the summer, where that's the traditional window where most other parts of the world are doing a lot of shopping, in our league, it's the middle of our season. So adding a player like that in the middle of the season, obviously there was an acclimation for him, an adaptation to our league and our country. But with him now having a full offseason, I mean, he's the kind of box-to-box midfielder that I think every team wants to have. And to have someone at the age he's at and his enthusiasm level, he's got a lot to offer on both sides of the ball.
We're talking to Mike Jacobs, the GM of Nashville SC on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Mike, I have all the stupid questions, so here we go. Do you know every player on every other roster in the MLS?
Yes.
I was going to add a backup, like, if you don't, should you, and all that. What is that? Do you pay attention when teams, you know, they waive guys, they sign guys? Is that something you look at every single day?
Yeah, look, it's part of what we're doing. I describe it sometimes almost like the stock market. You know, you have to identify trends. You have to understand, you know, whether it's when to add someone, when to move someone, you know. So I think it's important to make sure you understand what everyone else in our league is doing. And to be honest, yeah, I think a big reason why a lot of times when it comes to talking about personnel, you know, I have to keep my cards close to the vest from the standpoint that we don't want to create a competitive disadvantage. You know, the reality is sometimes things we share when it comes to players are looking at from within our league, outside our league, you know, when people find out about that, it can create maybe a competitive disadvantage. So we have to be kind of strategic about what we can share and what we don't.
So it's a big cat and mouse game, right?
For sure.
Oh, I love this. There's a saying in hockey where they say in October, November, you can't win the Stanley Cup, but you sure as hell can lose it. Does that apply to the early seasons of MLS where you can't win the championship in March and April, but you sure can put yourself in a bind? That being said, how important are these starts at the beginning of the season?
In England, I would hear sometimes that they use Boxing Day, you know, like right around Christmas time, for maybe you can't win it before Boxing Day, but you can lose it. So exactly that point about the NHL. You know, in our league, you know, it's a 34-game season. You know, the durational season is probably closer to resemble Major League Baseball than like the NFL from the standpoint. It's a long year. And, you know, I've been with groups that really are trying to push Kamala Gates really hard. And, you know, absolutely want to build momentum, but you also can kind of, you know, burn your team out and not have much less left for the rest of the season. And, you know, I think you've seen that with our group here. You know, even at the season we had the most success, maybe to run out of gas, you know, once the summer months hit. And, you know, for us, I think we obviously want to win every game we play. And please know I'm the worst loser you could be around. You know, I mean, like,
good.
You know, I'm amazed when I see people who are upset after games we lose and, you know, it might shout something at me. Please trust me. No one wants to win more desperately than I do. You know,
I love it.
But, you know, but I would say also, I mean, the reality is, you know, winning, you know, outcome is just like a win and loss from one game. Process is like how you win, you know, how you don't lose. And, you know, for us, I mean, yeah, we want to win every game, but we want to have it like in October, clicking at all cylinders. And, you know, to do that, you have to be kind of strategic what you're doing in these months also. And, you know, you obviously want to go with your foot down the gas, you know, down as far as you can to the floor, but you got to be mindful of making sure you're doing it in the right way. And, you know, you can sustain it throughout, you know, a grueling 34-game season.
Oh, I love it. Also, you know, you have the unique perspective. You've been here for quite a while. To see this, it's like a child. I mean, you saw as an infant, now it's grown up, now it's entering, you know, elementary school, and, you know, to kind of do a comparison there. How much fun is this still for you, Mike, when you see what's going to take place Saturday and to see the city come together and see this team that you kind of built from nothing to where it is now? It's got to be a great feeling.
Look, it's a dream come true to have an opportunity to do something like this. You know, a role I have at a club like this and in a city like this. The idea to look at something that you put on a whiteboard to draw up, to see it come to fruition in front of 30,000 of your closest friends, you know, I can't imagine a better way to do something like that. You know, and our best teams, you know, that we've had, you know, Nissan before Geodis, you know, our stadium's always been like a fortress. And, you know, someone asked me recently about my favorite moments I've been here. And, you know, ironically, it was, you know, League Cup final. It was even less to do with in 2023 against Miami. It was even less to do what happened in the game. It was when the teams came out for warm-ups, what happened when Miami came out of the tunnel. Because when they came out of the tunnel, they were showered with booze. And I was in the field, and I have to tell you, I loved that so much I had chills. Because,
yes.
You know, I had talked to Greg Berhalter, who was U.S. national team manager at the time, and, you know, he mentioned that everywhere he had been to watch Miami play, it had been like a traveling road show for Messi, and all the fans wore pink. He loved the fact that our fans almost held him in contempt, that they were coming in our house and we were going to make sure they understood this is an unfriendly confines. And whether it was our players on the field, you know, who fed off of that, whether it was our fans kind of like the heartbeat of our game continuing on from there, we're at our very best when Geodis is like a hostile environment for visiting teams to play.
Mike Jacobs is with us from Nashville SC. You know, the thing that I think is so unique about soccer is you're signing players not just from your league or from the United States, but from all around the world in different leagues. And, you know, the news coming out today with Ahmed coming to Nashville Soccer Club from the Swedish Premier League. How big of a deal is that to be able to get a top-tier player like that from across the world?
Well, you know, the trick – like with the job like a general manager or a sporting director in soccer or in football is now you have to win. You also have to be able to like acquire players and sell them also to be able to generate revenue off of them. You know, so, you know, talking to the sporting director or general manager at Elfsborg, you know, it was the middle of multiple deals, you know, that he was trying to do. The idea of it being able to attract a player like Ahmed Kassem, you know, I mean, 2 weeks ago, he was playing in the Europa League against Tottenham Hotspur. You know, so to get a chance to get a player of this caliber, but also at the age he's at, you know, at age 21, it's highly unusual to have players from Europe come here at the age they're at, you know, not even their prime yet, you know. So to add a player of his ability level, but also at the age he's at and where he's coming from, is highly unusual. And we're really excited about being able to add a player of his caliber to our group.
You mentioned earlier the 34-game schedule, but, you know, being so spread out, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, I know the U.S. Open Cup is taking place, and there's international tournaments that a lot of these guys play in. You know, we're kind of watching right now with hockey the Four Nations tournament and kind of the balance there of pausing the season so these guys can go do that. What is the balance of knowing that your guys are going to be able to represent their country and do other things, but also focusing on the task at hand and winning the MLS Cup?
I think we take for granted sometimes how much these guys run and their physical output compared to other sports. You know, we had a game a couple of years ago. Alex Mule traditionally is among the league leaders in, like, distance covered. You know, we keep track of tons of metrics. You know, it would blow your mind if you saw all the things we look at tactically, physically. Alex had a match where he had 92 sprints in it, and a sprint is, you know, a certain distance. You know, let's say maybe it's you know, 8 or 10 yards. To sprint 92 times in a match, that means he was doing that more than once a minute the entire game with someone chasing you, trying to kick you. You know,
wow.
So to think about something like that, it's almost subhuman. And, you know, the idea of having to try to summon the strength to do that 2 or 3 times in a week sometimes, it's just not realistic. You know, you're used to seeing in sports like baseball where pitchers rotate, you know, in sports like football where players rotate every other play. You know, the reality is it's just not possible to play all your guys every minute of every game. I always think it's interesting when people ask me about our starters. And I always say, you know, if we only have 11 starters, like in a 34-game season, we're just not very good. You know, so for us, you got to have like 16 starters. You know, so, you know, it's not just next man up. You just have to have that kind of squad depth. And when you're in a salary cap league, and we're one of, I think, 3 soccer leagues in the world that have a salary cap. You know, so it just provides different wrinkles in constructing a roster that enables you to have 15, 16 starters to rely on over a course of a 34-game season.
Mike, I like to see you chase around Geodis Park and try to kick him. I'll actually pay you money for this if you don't mind.
I don't think it'd be too hard to chase. So.
Yeah, no. You'd catch me pretty quick. Mike, appreciate the time as always. We're looking forward to another great season, and it all gets started Saturday against New England at Geodis Park. So looking forward to it. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Let's go.
Awesome. The boys in gold back in action. Mike Jacobs, the GM, joining us here on the program. And again, New England, 7:30 kick time at Geodis Park coming up on Saturday. Hard to believe the MLS season is here.
I love it. Something to do.
Absolutely. And we're going to be joined by BJ Callahan later in the week as well, their coach. So looking forward to that. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I've got to concentrate. I've got to concentrate. Hello?
Hello?
Echo.
Echo.
Pinch hitting for Pedro Borbón. Manny Mota.
What is that from?
Airplane.
Airplane. Ah, oh, that's it.
I'll explain in a moment why we played that.
I'm sure you have your reasons. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got to move fast. Today's celebrity birthdays, and what day is it? Presented by Jared Companies, Inc. Above and beyond industry standards, electrical services, installations, electrical inspections, upgrades, and replacements. JarrettCompaniesInc.com. That's your cue, Dr. Crane.
I'm sorry?
Go.
I apologize. Sorry.
People talking to you back there?
There is a lot of chatter going on back here. Sorry.
Hey, guys, shut up and let him finish the show.
Tell David James quit kissing your neck. Let's go.
Whoa, no. Let's see. Cow milked while flying on an airplane day. That's a little odd. Crab stuff flounder day. Eat ice cream for breakfast day. National batteries day. National drink wine day. Pluto Day, and Thumb Appreciation Day. How fitting for our car conversation.
That was good.
Good job, Dr. Crane. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get them within two. First birthday, Yoko Ono.
Oh, wow.
That's a palindrome in her last name. Yoko Ono.
80.
82.
92 years old.
Wow.
Sybil Shepherd from Memphis.
83.
80.
75. John Travolta. What's so funny? John Travolta.
70.
68.
71. Chase McCabe is up 1-0. Good job, Chase. You know your Grease movies. Vanna White.
Ooh. 65.
62.
68. Wow. Matt Dillon, not the sheriff, the actor.
Not Marshall Dillon?
Not Marshall Dillon.
64.
65.
61. Dr. Dre.
57.
59.
60. We're tied at one. Wow. Molly Ringwald.
59.
58.
57. Dr. Crane's up 2-1. Well done here. Singer Dennis DeYoung of Styx. They kicked him out of the band.
Dennis For Mr. DeYoung. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto, right?
73.
75.
78. So close right Dang. There. Who else is here? The keyboard player, guitar player for Old Dominion, Trevor Rosen. Don't know him, but I think he lives here.
47.
48.
He's 50. Dr. Crane's up 3-1. Let's move over here and see. Hold on. Just got one more here. Nobody there. All right. Here we go. The reason we played that clip. Today's Manny Mota's birthday. How old is Manny Mota?
72.
83.
87. Yeah. PGA golfer, LPGA golfer, Judy Rankin.
57.
60.
80. Final birthday, Chase. You have a chance to tie, or Dr. Crane, you can win this. Dwight Freeney, former Colts defensive end, Dwight Freeney.
47.
43.
45. That's a push. Dr. Crane, you win 3-1. You guys are terrible.
Congratulations, Dr. Crane. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Celebrity birthdays presented by Jared Companies, Inc. Above and beyond industry standards. Visit them at JaredCompaniesInc.com.
Hey, as we close, sorry, Chase. As we close out every show, to our guys out there, we're with you. If you're struggling, need to talk to somebody on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. Please do it. Please talk to someone, anybody, what you're going through. We're always here for you. We're grateful for the men who've reached out to us over the last 18 months. We love you and know that we're here for you. And if something happened to you, I tell you all the time, you'll be tremendously missed. That's why we want you to know that you are tremendously loved, not only by us, but God loves you as well.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.